Good morning, and welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, also affectionately known as WUF. My name is Salima Malson. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my privilege to serve as your lay leader this morning. Living as we do in these tumultuous times of challenge and possibility, we want you to know, whoever and wherever you are at this moment, that you are both welcomed and celebrated here exactly as you are, regardless your age or abilities, the color of your skin or where you were born, regardless whom you love or how you identify your gender, if you do, whatever your spiritual practices may be, or if you have none. We are glad that you're with us this morning, all of us neighbors in this virtual community of conscious compassion. I encourage you to check the announcements in your order of service to see what other activities are happening this week that help us stay connected. And I invite you to join us for our Zoom coffee hour at 11:30. When we will check in with each other, share our joys and sorrows, and engage with today's speaker. And now, as I light this chalice, the Unitarian Universalism symbol of our shared faith, let us consider these words from the late beloved John Lewis. Our actions entrench the power of the light on this planet. Every positive thought we pass between us makes room for more light. And if we do more than think, then our actions clear the path for even more light. That is why forgiveness and compassion must become more important principles in public life. Another reading for this morning is a poem by the American poet James Cruz. It's titled Neighbors. Where I'm from, people still wave to each other. And if someone doesn't, you might say of her, she wouldn't wave at you to save her life. But you try anyway. Give her a smile. This is just one of the many ways we take care of one another. Say, I see you. I feel you. I know you are real. I wave to Rick, who picks up litter while walking his black labs, Olive and Basil, hauling donut boxes, cigarette packs, and countless beer cans out of the brush beside the road. And I say hello to Christy, who leaves almond croissants in our mailbox and mason jars of fresh-pressed apple cider on our side porch. I stop to check in on my mother-in-law, more like a second mother, who buys us toothpaste when it's on sale and calls if an unfamiliar car is parked at our house. We are going to have to return to this way of life, this giving without expectation, this loving without conditions. We need to stand eye to eye again and keep asking, no matter how busy. How are you? How's your wife? How's your knee? Making this talk, we insist on calling small, though kindness is what keeps us alive.
Yeah.
Now let's take a breath and relax into a few moments of extended silence, during which I invite you to bring to mind or speak aloud the names of anyone you may wish to have join us in this circle of caring and compassion for prayer, meditation, or reflection, as you choose.
Good morning. My name is Laura Moulton, and I attend the First Unitarian Branch in Portland, and I'm also the founder of Street Books, a bicycle library, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share part of your program this morning and tell you a little bit about that project. So in 2011, I founded Street Books. It is a bicycle-powered mobile library serving people who live outside or at the margins in our city. Our mission is to empower people on the streets through access to literature and reading glasses, and to create a community of support for people through a shared love of books. I applied for funding in late 2010 from the Regional Arts and Culture Council and was fortunate to be given a grant, and that's kind of how I got my start. I did not know at the time whether a paperback book would be interesting to people who had really been living without shelter, without basic resources for short or long periods of time. And so I really embarked on this mission with some trepidation because I wasn't convinced that that was what people most needed. And I'd like to just share a few photos with you to show you a little bit about the project. This is the original bicycle. And my brother, who is an architect, helped me add trim and paint and do the stencils. And this was the bike that I set off on that first summer in 2011. This is kind of a bird's eye view and shows you the pullout drawer. The pullout drawer I decided was more important than I'd even realized because it enabled people to walk by and sort of take a gander at things without committing and coming and looking down into the box. And initially, I saw that people felt like it was probably not for them, especially patrons passing by with backpacks and rucksacks. I had to sometimes reinforce that this was free and that this was for them, that it was a lending library, that I was going to be back the next week, and that I wanted to establish a connection to them. This is our second bike, and so a few years into this project, we were gifted a second bike by Splendid Cycles in Portland and had an artist design the box for us. And so this is the way I structured this system. You can see that the books are stickered. It has Street Books, a mobile bicycle-powered library for people living outside, and the streetbooks.org website. And then I used an old-school card catalog to just formalize the transaction with people. They were able to sign their name and leave the card with me so that I was kind of tracking how many books went out each week. I used a Street Books card that in which I could fill out days of the week for operations and locations and times so that people would know where to find me each week. And I began that first summer twice a week. My shifts were Skidmore Fountain on Wednesdays and the South Park blocks on Saturdays. This enabled me to write the patron's name and then my name, and do a handshake, and then we were all set. And early on, I emphasized that there were no fees, no fines. I invited people to return the book, but I was aware that given the constraints of their current situations, they may not be able to return the book. And so that was something that I invited them to do, but I was not attached to. So the very first summer in Skidmore Fountain, I met a man named Ben Hodgson, and he quickly became a very regular patron. You can see a picture of him here. He's checking out The Cave by José Saramago, Portuguese writer. And Ben was very funny, very droll. He'd been living outside probably for about a year when I met him. And he fast became someone who we could rely on for terrible puns. And also, each week he really deliberated about whether to improve himself and check out some of the sort of headier books or to sort of kill an afternoon with something a little bit more pulpy. And so we saw him go through this each time. And Ben was also notable for having busted my chops very early on because I did not have any P.G. Wodehouse on the shift. And so he wondered what kind of librarian would run a library without P.G. Wodehouse. So I had to make that correction right quick. Here's another one of Hodge and reading Down by the River. And I want to just point out there's Ben Hodgson to the right with the big cardboard scissors. So he likes to say he's been with our project since the very beginning. And that's true. He says he's been here with us since the beginning, but he just used to work the other side of the counter. And gradually over time, his situation stabilized. He moved into an apartment, and so now he's sheltered. He's on our board of directors and runs the Monday Old Town library shift himself, serving books to patrons where he used to sleep. And these are several action shots, librarians with the bike. And so I want to show you these just to indicate when I launched this in 2011, it was supposed to be a three-month art project. That's what I pitched to the Regional Arts and Culture Council. And I fast realized that people were starting to rely on this service and checking out books in late summer, and they needed a place to return them. And so I realized I had to keep it going. And I'm so fortunate that I've received support from Portlanders over time, donations of books, grants from foundations, and people, just quality, stellar, hard workers that showed up, believed in the mission, and just never left. And so we have many librarians and a board of directors full of committed folks that have been with us for a long time. This is at the Vos Worker Center on Martin Luther King Boulevard, a Spanish-speaking shift that we offer. Librarians in action. And just a few portraits of our patrons over time and the books that they checked out. One of the very cool opportunities that Street Books has had is to expand to Austin, Texas. And we have a sister library, Street Books ATX, run by a man named Patrick Crawley, who wanted to mark 20 years of sobriety by starting something that gave back to his community. And so Street Books ATX has now been going for several years. And we were lucky in 2018 to be able to travel to the Texas Festival of the Book and help Patrick celebrate that library. We've had other interest in cities around the country and around the world, and pre-pandemic, we're working on a collaboration in the Tenderloin to launch a street library there, and that is sort of a little bit more up in the air right now because of COVID-19. Another happy outcome from this long-time collaboration is that Ben Hodgson and I have been co-writing a book about the Street Books Library, and it turns out he's a terrific writer and has written really compellingly about the time that he spent out on the streets. And he and I received a literary grant from RAC and were able to present that reading in 2017 to an audience at the Waypost. And this month, We have an excerpt from our book in progress coming out in Oregon Humanities magazine, so keep an eye out for that. So no one anticipated a global pandemic, or maybe a few people did. We certainly didn't locally here in our nonprofit. But I want to speak to the way StreetBooks has pivoted in the age of COVID-19 and in the necessity of sheltering in place and scaling back connectivity with people. I think one of the true tragedies of this pandemic is the way we are now separated from each other. And nothing has brought home how analog StreetBooks is more than this current pandemic. And I have realized that the shifts in which everyone gathers around the library to see what new books the bike has brought, what requests we've been able to fill, whether it's someone's book three in the Harry Potter series or something on mechanics for somebody who's working on bikes and automobiles outside. We've definitely thrived in a community by being able to literally gather physically close together and have conversations and share community together. There is also an immense civil rights uprising right now, and we have worked as an organization to answer to that as well, to address these things in tandem. So I wanted to show you a few images of librarians and talk about what we've done in given the current restrictions in the city. We mask up and librarians go out on individual bicycles rather than rolling out one of the bike libraries so that a crowd forms. We have been continuing to do our shifts and focusing on person-to-person connection so that we are visiting the places, the encampments that we always did, but this time we're seeking out people one-on-one, inviting them to choose a book that we provide just in a smaller cardboard box, and then taking requests. And so we're getting requests in pretty steadily, and we've been able to fill those. This is an example of sort of the way we are conducting ourselves at a distance. This is Diana, our street librarian, talking to Michael, one of our patrons, and this is the St. Francis Park Apartments on Stark Street, Inner Southeast. And we have an office. Our headquarters has been located there since 2017. The great part of that is that we are able to offer an on-site library to the residents who live there, about 30% of whom have recently transitioned off the streets or out of shelters themselves. And so it's been a way to continue the community that we've built with a number of folks who are living at the margins, who haven't necessarily plugged into systems or who don't necessarily have a mainstream library card with the mainstream system in Multnomah County. So we've been able to check out books to the residents who come and one at a time come in with masks and find some books in the library. But we've also been able to do outreach to our St. Francis Parish patrons who are living nearby alongside the street and maintain connection that way. We've also really focused on plugging into programs and services that are already happening as a result of COVID-19. And what that means is partnering. When Northwest Enforcement reached out to StreetBooks and said, what are you able to do during this pandemic? We said, we can provide books, we can provide masks. And so we have had regular stop-offs by a couple of guys from Northwest Enforcement who take boxes, and when they go out to distribute supplies, they also offer books, and they take requests that they get back to us, and then we're able to fill those. And we've had some very cool connections that way with folks we may not have seen otherwise, may not have been able to reach. We also have partnerships with Rahab Sisters, the nonprofit that offers radical hospitality to women and women identified folks along the 82nd corridor. They have expanded in this time to serve everyone. So it's a meal that they serve out of one side of their space, and then a patio that they keep, that they hold for women. And we have been able to provide books there and connect with patrons also that we would not have connected with otherwise. So I want to leave you with a picture of Ben Hodgson. When the pandemic hit and he was no longer able to operate his Old Town shift on Mondays, we began connecting by phone every day, and he read a classic short story over the phone to me and my children. I would say every day, every afternoon for the first 2 months of the pandemic. And he has struggled, like all of us have, with staying sane and healthy and keeping worries at bay and fears. But I also, I turn back to Ben and his story and the way he reconnected with family over the years, the way he was able to plug in and bring such a lot of meaning and support to an organization like Street Books. And I just, I keep him in mind when I'm worried about things. I think that Ben Hodge, as we call him, Hodgson, is a great example of the kind of resiliency that all of us can lean on in a time like this. So I want to welcome questions. I'll have a chance to answer during a Q&A, and also just let you know that we have more information about Street Books at our website. That's streetbooks.org. We are always interested in book donations. Right now, donations of Louis L'Amour Westerns are welcome, books by James Patterson and Stephen King, but we also love all things literary, creative nonfiction, and fiction. And particularly, we're interested right now in books by and about people of color, and sometimes harder to find titles, harder to keep in stock. And so we're also always accepting financial donations, and we have a fall event September 30th. And if you'd like to visit our website, streetbooks.org, and sign up for our mailing list, you can find more information that way. So I want to thank you again for your kind attention and look forward to connecting with you in the Zoom Q&A. Thank you so much.
As we extinguish the chalice, marking the end of our time together today, may we resolve to carry within us the warm glow of its flame, its light, and all that it stands for as we make our way through the coming week and all that it may bring. And may we meet again as neighbors in the spirit of beloved community to which we aspire.